So we're kind of running out of time. Can I talk about the Koch poem just really quickly? And then this always happens the first time I give a lecture. You know, I totally prepare too much stuff. So this poem is actually, which is called A Momentary Longing to Hear Sad Advice from One Long Dead, is not from the 1950s. It is a poem that was actually written probably around the year 2000, maybe 1999. Koch died, I think, in 2001 or 2002. And he's talking about the person who he's referring to in the poem is Delmore Schwartz, who apparently he had as a teacher at Harvard really briefly. He's a poet very much unlike Koch, and who one could imagine Koch just kind of rolling his eyes at, because Schwartz could be quite a melodramatic character. He's kind of a wonderful, wonderful poet, but certainly the kind of poet that the New Critics would have loved. So I'll read this myself. And the title moves into the first line of the poem. The other important thing you should know about this is that Koch was actually dying at this point and knew it. That never comes into the poem in a direct way, but it's there. A momentary longing to hear sad advice from one long dead who was my teacher at Harvard, did not wear overcoat, saying to me as we walked across the yard, "Cold, brittle autumn is, you should be wearing overcoat." I said, "You're not wearing overcoat." He said, "You should do as I say, not do as I do." Just how American it was and how late 40s it was, Delmore, but not I, was probably aware. He quoted Finnegan's Wake to me in his New York apartment, sitting on chair, table directly in front of him. There, did he write? I am wondering. "Look at this photograph," said of his mother and father. "Coney Island. Do they look happy?" He couldn't figure it out. Believed Pogo to be at the limits of our culture. Pogo. Walt Kelly must have read Joyce, Delmore said. Why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask Walt Kelly if he read Finnegan's Wake or not? Your parents don't look happy, but it is just a photograph. Maybe they felt awkward posing for photographs. Maybe it is just a bad photograph. Delmore is not listening. I want to hear him tell me something sad, but however true. Delmore in his tomb is sitting. People say, yes, everyone is dying, but here, read this happy book on the subject. Not Delmore. Not that rueful man. So, I have no idea what this, like, sort of strange syntactical weirdness is, you know, at certain moments in the poem and why he's using it. Pogo was, for those of you who are not, like, of a certain age, shall we say, Pogo was an amazing comic strip that, you know, played in most American newspapers, you know, over probably a 20 or 30 year period. It was written by this guy, Walt Kelly. It had an amazing cast of characters. It all took place in this swamp. It oftentimes was quite allegorical and commented in allegorical ways on what was going on in American politics. It was incredibly smart. It could be read, you know, by, you know, completely ordinary people in one way, and it could be read by, you know, another set of people in another way. It had layers to it that were really, really quite wonderful. If you know, if you read graphic novels, if you know the graphic novel Bone, that the guy who did that, whose name I'm like blanking out on, was very influenced by Walt Kelly, and some of the drawing is kind of comes out of the Walt Kelly style. So, you know, there's this kind of weird Yoda speak, you know, in the poem at times, and it's weird, the sort of disruptive syntax. It's very funny, you know, and yet the sort of subtext of the poem, you know, you never find, I mean, I told you that Coke is dying, you know, at this point, but you don't know that from the poem, but you feel totally the sort of, you know, tugging. You know, in the comedy, and Coke was a master of this at times, you know, the comedy is a kind of, like, it has a kind of madcap quality to it. And yet it's kind of, beneath it is this vulnerability, deep vulnerability. And it's kind of wonderful. The photograph that he's referring to in the poem is a very famous photograph that appears in a story that Delmar Schwartz wrote called In Dreams Begin Responsibilities, which is largely a meditation on the sort of failed marriage of his parents. So there's a kind of, you know, the project, the spiritual project in this particular poem, and I think throughout the New York School, is how to be heroic without being melodramatic, you know, because when you think about it, that's everyday life, you know, we do not, whatever sort of heroism or courage we possess, you know, however we approach death, okay, with whatever courage we have, you know, is oftentimes not dramatic, and, you know, we are barely aware of it as courage, you know. And probably that's a good thing. And there's a kind of wonderful sort of modesty almost about this, a spiritual modesty that I really dig, you know, in the New York School. They can be really playful and completely over the top at times, you know. But I also think there was this sort of sense of them being completely attached to ordinary life and wanting to not only celebrate it, but also to recognize, you know, these flashes of difficulty in them and not to make them something that they weren't. So there's a silence, you know, that occurs at the end of this poem, you know. He wants this advice. You don't know why he wants it, you know, but it's clear that there's some hunger for it. And he gets it. And the advice is not happy, you know. It's basically, you know, there isn't anything other than this silence, and you have to accept it. Delmore, there's a certain, you know, Delmore is not somebody who is a kind of prophet of, you know, the self-help age, you know. He's not one of these people who's going to tell you to read this book. There's no good advice anybody can give you about dying. You come to your own death by yourself, with others, you know, but you face it yourself. And, you know, he gets the advice that he wished for, and he's put in a place where he has to accept it, and I think he does, you know. And nothing special is made out of it. So there's something profoundly moving about that. Creeley wrote after Coke died. He said in a poem, "But your classic humor of the edge, of being about to and hanging on even for one last look, that was truly heroic." You know, and it's a kind of beautiful homage.